is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
The American economy, midwinter. The Financial Times out of London. Traders abandon hopes of March interest rate cut, but keep betting against the Federal Reserve. U.S. Central Bank Chair sees three reductions in 2024, while markets price in five. I welcome Elizabeth Peake, a columnist at The Hill, a columnist at Fox News, much on Fox Business. I love abandoning hope, Liz. It's victory in the morning. You understand the paraphrase. Abandoning hope for March. However, they are looking now at five. Last time I checked, they were looking at six. What do these cuts mean? Why are the market traders, the people who control trillions of dollars, so keen on the number of cuts? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Well, they're not abandoning ship. That's what we know, because the markets had a little bit of a hit yesterday, but nothing terribly significant. Look, everyone has been trying to suss out what Jay Powell meant going back to December when he talked about, well, actually going back to November, when he talked about we've reached the peak of the interest rate hiking cycle, and now we are looking at possible rate cuts. So the markets arguably went kind of crazy on that and basically priced in, remember you and I talked about this a few weeks ago, as many as seven interest rate cuts this year. Even though in the Federal Reserve notes and expectations, it was basically targeting three. So, you know, there have been weeks and months when traders simply don't listen to Jay Powell. It's like Eloise. He has to repeat everything three times before they actually get it in, you know, sort of in their heads that he might mean what he says. So this is another iteration, as he did on 60 Minutes. On Sunday night, that yes, he's not going to be probably cutting rates in March because guess what? We had a very big jobs number. The services sector ISM numbers came in pretty hot. There are all kinds of indications that the economy is doing quite well. So we don't need to cut rates. You cut rates, generally speaking, when the economy starts to slow down and it needs a little bit of a kick. It doesn't need that kick right now. It's still growing pretty strongly. And more importantly to Jay Powell, inflation, yes, has come down markedly in some instances. And if you parse the numbers certain ways, you're actually at that 2% target that Jay Powell has held out as his goal, continues to hold out as his goal. But we're not quite there yet in terms of headline numbers and not there yet in terms of sort of comfortably being at that level for some period of time. So traders have reacted by now pricing in a rate cut in March at about 15% odds, 52% a week ago. So that's a big change in thinking just in 7 days. And now that the attention is turning to May, June, and almost surely by then we will get an interest rate cut unless the economy continues to bull ahead in a way that makes Jay Powell anxious. I know, you know, this has been said so many times, but he does look back at periods when the Fed cut rates too early and inflation came roaring back. And right now there is that black swan on the horizon of oil prices. Oil prices haven't gone up despite conflict in the Middle East. We haven't seen a big impact or fallout from the fact that freight rates are up hugely since the war in the Middle East began, because shipping has to go around the Horn of Africa rather than through the Suez Canal. All that is going to filter into price increases, possibly boosting the level of inflation, and certainly oil prices, should they go up, if there's any kind of direct attack on Iran, which I don't think Biden wants to do, oil prices will go up, and that could bring inflation back up to a level that makes Powell uncomfortable. So right now, we're sort of in a, yes, all the trends are in the right direction, but we're not there yet frame of mind, and traders want to jump ahead and take advantage of what they see as a pretty obvious trend. And by the way, the fact that we're in an election year makes the trend even more obvious. It is historically the case that the Federal Reserve chairman or the Federal Reserve in general acts in a way to boost the economy during a re-election year. The head of the Fed wants to keep his job. So, you know, more likely than not, we will see rate increases beginning, as I say, probably in May.
The esteemed New York Times columnist Paul Krugman says that the market and the Federal Reserve and all of the above, including the spending by the administration for inflation reduction, all of that has left the economy in great shape for 2024. Do you agree with that, Liz? Are we on a good trend here?
Well, look, I think there are a number of things that can be said. First of all, it's not, you know, consumers, the voters and consumers rate this administration very poorly on their handling of the economy, mainly because of inflation. And the fact that the rate of inflation has come down is certainly penetrating. I mean, the consumer sentiment responses now are more positive than they were 6 months ago when inflation was still quite high. People are aware, I think, that the rate of increase in prices has slowed. But it is still the case that when they go into the grocery store, everything costs 20 to 30% more than it did when Joe Biden became president. And as you know, it's been a long time. You have to go back to the 1970s before there was an instance where price increases were that rampant and where people were hurt that badly. The administration, Joe Biden, is now talking about the fact that wages are growing faster than inflation. That's true, but that's only been true for very few months. For most of his administration, that was not true. And there have been a lot of data surveys out there showing that the average American family is spending $10,000, $15,000 more per year to stay even. So people aren't stupid, and they do balance their checkbooks, and they do look at their budgets. They know that they're worse off than they were when Joe Biden became president. And that certainly colors their view of the economy. And I would say this further. One group that is particularly disaffected right now is young voters. And they have problems with Biden's approach to Israel and Palestine. I get that. But in terms of the economy, they're also very influenced by the fact that home buying, probably the most essential decision of any young person starting out, is buying a home. And last year was just a terrible year for people buying a house. I mean, the affordability in October of last year of buying a house was the lowest, the worst, since 1985. That's a long time. And you saw that as a result of mortgage rates being quite high, over 7%, and the fact that no one who had a very low rate mortgage wanted to sell their house. So the availability of housing was pretty poor. But anyway, young people, and I've talked to a lot of young people about this, they just felt like they couldn't get started on their economic life because of what had happened, because of high interest rates and the impact on the housing market. So I think that's why the perception of the economy isn't that great. But here's another thought, John. You know, last year in the fourth quarter, S&P earnings were up about 1.5%, 1.6%. That's not a great rate of increase year over year. But if you take out the Magnificent Seven earnings were actually down more than 7%. We've been in what I would describe as an earnings recession. Industry has not prospered during this time, which, by the way, is one reason I find it extremely offensive when Joe Biden attacks companies for profiteering, for raising prices, even though they don't need to, just to boost their profits. That really has not been happening. And I think this anti-business rhetoric from this government, which frankly has been backed up by anti-business policies, such as you're seeing at the FTC right now, I think are very worrisome for business leaders. And you've seen some of them sort of say, whoa, you know, this is not great. We're not getting kind of the help we need. So I think there are a number of reasons why smart people are looking at their own personal situation and recognizing that the economy has not worked for them.
Mr. Krugman mentions prominently that surprising jobs report from last week, plus 350,000, that mitigates a deal of what we've been talking about, Liz, because without that jobs number, we could point to real estate, we could point to the food prices as evidence of why people feel poorly. But clearly, the jobs market suggests we're growing, we're prospering. Is there any other way to interpret that?
Well, I have to tell you, my project today is to really weed through again all that data in the January jobs report. I would point you to a statement that came out of the Council of Economic Advisors in the White House that basically said, we don't know what to make of this either. We caution that these numbers are significantly influenced by adjustments, AKA they may not be real, because I think they have a real problem. If the next jobs market is like 185,000, what are they going to say? To me, John, the numbers were so heavily influenced by restatements that have to do with reassessing seasonal adjustments and other things like that. I don't really know how solid that jobs number was. Generally speaking, yeah, we've been increasing jobs. Although if you look at private data, household data, jobs haven't gone anywhere. And if you look at specific sectors, like it really infuriates me that one of Joe Biden's pitches right now is that he's added 800,000 manufacturing jobs. That just really isn't true. If you look at December 2019, I think the number was 11.1 million people working in manufacturing, and now it's 11.2. They hadn't gone anywhere. So, as I say, I want to really spend some time deep diving into the employment numbers, because to some degree, they don't make any sense. And the January number truly didn't make any sense. It'll be very interesting to see what February comes in at. Although, as we know, they all get, you know, revised up and down sort of willy-nilly. So how much you can count on any month is sort of beyond me.
The campaigns are underway. I'm speaking with Elizabeth Peak of The Hill, of Fox News, of Fox Business. And we turn to what really matters to politicians, not who you voted for, but how much did we raise last night. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.